Hello, it's Dr. Jane here again with another 10-minute positive mental health podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about anger management. Now, if you think about anger management, you think of the archetypal person, you know, with steam coming out of their ear, with a bright red face, you know, being so angry. But anger can have very different forms. It can just be that stuff that, you know, internally rages and then it kind of explodes, but often it'll explode within, or it just, you know, people lash out at people. Anger means different things for different people. And I'm sure you are aware of your responses to things that upset you or bother you when they you know, they're not going the way that you want. And, you know, driving, let's take, for instance, driving. I know when I get drive and, you know, there's some idiot in, you know, behind me, or there's somebody's doing something, or the lights are going red or something, and I'm needing to get there. Of course, I just feel that sense of annoyance and frustration. But, you know, I always have a rule, just a little tip here, you know, when it comes to driving, always have the idiots in front of you. If you've got somebody tailgating you, just stop, pull over, whatever it is, let them go in front of you, because if they're in front of you, you can see what they're doing. They're more of a danger when they're behind you. But anyway, I've diversified a little bit, but I just wanted to give you that little tip. So yes, anger. We all get anger. Now, what is anger? It comes from, as we say, frustration. If we're thinking about, you know, I was using that example of driving, when somebody's right behind me and they're just driving really poorly, I get really frustrated of it. But also, it's a fear. Anger comes from fear. Again, stick with my driving analogy. And I'm fearful. I'm fearful of that person ramming into me and not driving properly because, or not concentrating properly because they're on the phone. Or also, anger can come from being hurt from somebody. If we feel, you know, that something hasn't gone right, and, you know, you just feel that general sense of that person is not doing, or something, or some system, some, you know, something is not right. So we end up being hurt by it. So, you know, anger comes from many, many different things. Now, I wanted to illustrate today with a guy I saw called Darren. Now, he was a young guy. He'd had a relationship before and had a couple of children. He was in a newer relationship. So there was a bit of complexity going on here. He'd see his children from his previous relationship on regular basis, but then there was difficulties with his ex, and then his new partner was not always as welcoming as he felt that they should be. Anyway, real complexity. Again, family dynamics, you know, we're absolutely full of them. But his thing was anger. He used to get so angry about the situation, about people mucking him about, or how he felt that people were mucking him about. And what we looked at, again, looking at, you know, those tips for anger and what you can do, and I'll come on to those shortly. But again, try to just look at the bigger picture. Had he always been like this? Was this something that was, you know, part of his history, was getting angry? And it turned out that yes, he was. He was the youngest of, I think there were five of them, and he was the only boy. And he was, you know, he talked about how everybody gave him lots of attention. He said he never had to do anything in particular, because he was just always indulged by his mum and dad and his sisters. And when we looked into it, we kind of, he had a look around, and what had happened was, it had turned out that his mum and dad weren't his mum and dad. They were actually his grandparents, and he was the actual son of his older sister, which, you know, sounds like something that you get off a television programme, but it is remarkably common. But he didn't know this, and it was something to do with a picture that his grandmother had that he'd managed to work out. This is way before he'd come and seen me. But what had happened with him was, it had completely undermined his sense of identity as to who he was, and he didn't know, and he was trying to find out who he was and who he was to people. Was he important to people? And it just was frustrated at all times, because, you know, he kind of felt that he'd grown up as a bit of a lie, and he didn't quite know, and all the things that he felt that he missed out on having a parent who was his parent, and then that parent was expecting to be suddenly his parent and not his sister. He just found it, and he was going along with that because she was his mum, but he just found it really frustrating and confusing. And what would happen was, instead of being able to air how he felt in that situation, it was just very much he felt that he had to go along with it. But then when he had the complexities of his ex-partner and his two children and all the mucking around that used to go on there, that's when he found that he was actually getting really rageful about the situation. So it was about an identity thing. So we talked about and we looked about his identity and what he could do to consolidate that. And one of the things that he found useful was he had a good new relationship. So he was happy with that. And also he had a good set of friends and he used to like to play weekend sports and things. So he used to find that that was useful because he'd found, you know, he was the, he was a goalkeeper, I think. And he was the good goalkeeper and he liked that. And his friends would, give him positive feedback in that. And work he found really useful because he knew where he was at work. But he just used to get a little bit lost, especially when it was Christmas and birthdays as well. So, it was all about identity. And this was always going to be an ongoing thing for him. All the time these people were in his life, which of course they're always going to be, it was always going to be an ongoing situation for Darren to kind of come to terms with who he was. So some of the tips that we need to think about when it comes to anger and anger control was, instead of that moment where you just kind of, the red mist descends and you just lash out, think about it. And I know that's easier said than done. And one of the ways that you can think about what's going on here is to breathe. Just remember to breathe. And sometimes people find it useful. I know I've done breathing techniques before on the podcast. Put your hand on your stomach and just breathe in a couple of times. Don't breathe shallowly. Spell the word breathe as you breathe. And that'll just, it just gives you those important few seconds that you're not instantly reacting, because often the instant reaction is the thing that even causes more problems, which it had. You know, there'd been kind of incidents where he got so cross with his former partner that, you know, there'd never been any kind of violence or anything, but she'd instantly be calling the police because she would say that she felt that there was a threat of violence. And then it was, it began to get tit for tat and things. It wasn't a good situation. So he knew that he was going to have to do something about that situation, but he wanted to do it in a calm way. He wanted to do it in a way that it wasn't just a knee-jerk way, and also get his support around that. And he found that once he started speaking to a few of his friends that had experienced similar situations, he found, comfort and, usefulness in being able to hear what other people had gone through, rather than just thinking, oh, it's just me, I'm bad, I get angry all the time, and, perhaps I shouldn't be seeing my children, which was one of the things that his ex apparently had said to him. And he wanted to, of course he wanted to see his original children. Just think about that. And we used to talk about relaxation skills, just that breathing and the clenching of your muscles and then letting go and things. So he found that all those useful, but breaking it down as to why. And if you're angry at the moment, don't, just think, right, step away from it. That's the most important thing, is just step away from it. No matter what you need to do, step away from a situation, just do it. And then you can either go back to it and sort it out if you have to, or you can stay stepped away from it and think about it and pull in your resources to help you think about it. And when he was able to start doing this, he said that his ex girlfriend realized that she wasn't just pushing the same triggers all the time and making them explode, and then she kind of got what she wanted out of it, which was, a reaction from him because she was annoyed that he'd gone off with somebody else. I don't know, something like this. But when he was able to do that and she couldn't, push the certain buttons every single time, that, of course, had the knock-on positive effect of him not then getting further and further angry and frustrated and, screaming at each other on the doorstep, which seemingly had happened. So he found things like that. And just the seconds, this isn't working. I'm going to go and sit in my car for a second and think about this, or I'll come back in a few minutes, or we'll talk about this later. And bringing other people in to help, he found useful. He'd always got on very well with his ex-girlfriend's brother, who's somebody that he still played sports with. And as much as he couldn't actually go along to his sister and say, right, you have to do this, you have to do that, he was never going to do that. It was somebody that his ex-girlfriend knew that he would then talk to, and she didn't quite want the whole situation of her looking completely bad. So, use your resources, use what's around. So the anger is something that everybody feels at some point or another, but it's about controlling it. And that's the most important thing. And breathe. Breathing is going to be the thing that helps you control it. But look at what is the underlying stuff to the anger, and then look about what you can do about that. Because as much as you might at the time feel that there isn't anything you can do about it, most of the time there's something that you feel that you can gain a little bit of control over, which is the most important thing. I have been Dr. Jane. This has been a 10 minute positive mental health podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and as soon as a new podcast is out, it'll come into your inbox. And also, if you look at drjane.co.uk/podcasts, you'll find the library of all my previous podcasts. I will speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to hear future episodes. Dr. Jane can be found on all the usual social media. Feel free to get in contact for topics and questions for future episodes of Dr. Jane's Positive Mental Health podcasts. Dr. Jane cannot enter into personal correspondence. If you have an emergency or crisis, contact your GP or emergency services.